We're holding on bays, omelet bays, three lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday that there are a number of cases where the Adam Zimmerman are not given the actual penalty that they intended for the person they accused falsely. We had four exceptions where they don't do that, and instead they get Malkus. The two cases in our Mishnah where they said that he's a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza. This is the second one where they said that he's chayev to go to Golos to the Ari Miklat. And then we also had where they want to say that he's to be sold as an Eved, where he needs to pay the koifer for his ox killing somebody, or where they're saying that he's to be sold as an Eved. And the last thing we worked out is that regardless, even when we're talking about, even if all of them are poor, and therefore their Eidos would have indeed caused them to be sold as an Eved, and they're also poor, and therefore we ought to say Vasi some Lekasha Zomam, nevertheless, the Pasuk implies that not. Okay. Now, we said in the Braisa, Mishum Rabbi Akiva Omru V'cholo, they said in the name of Rabbi Akiva, there's a fifth one, which was, we said that Afin Mishamun Api Atzman, that they also don't pay on their own, that they don't pay on their own statement. Meaning, in other words, so that's what we need to figure out, is what we mean by that exactly. What do we mean that they don't pay? So what does that mean exactly? So my time is Rabbi Akiva. So what is Rabbi now? So what it means is basically if they're coming to Beis Din and saying that we are that we were Edim and we owe money, then we don't make them pay. Then we don't make them pay because of that. So my time is Rabbi Akiva. So why does Rabbi Akiva hold that? The answer is because Rabbi Akiva holds knasahu. The whole concept of being an Eid Zomim and having to pay is a knas, knas in Meshalam, and a person does not pay a knas based on his own statement. So in other words, the Gemara at this point is assuming that what we mean is where the case comes to Beis Din, and before Beis Din was mazim them, before other, let's say, for example, they see two more Edim walk into the Beis Din, and they realize to themselves, uh-oh, the jig is up, these guys were with us elsewhere, and they know that we weren't there, and they're going to make us Edim Zimmin. So if they were to now go ahead and proactively say, we were Zimmin, and we just lied in our Edus, then we wouldn't make them pay. The Gemara is going to soon explain what exactly the case is, but for right now, that's the assumption. So a knas in Mishalom Apiatzmoy, we have a general rule throughout Shas, a person never pays a knas based on their own statement. A knas is only when a person is convicted and based in. Omer Rabba, and Rabba says Teda. In fact, you can see that it is in fact knas. Because after all, they're paying, even though the original owner still has the money. The whole point, as we said before, is Adam Zimmerman is that we convict them as Adam Zimmerman, even though, of course, we're not doing what they said to do. They had wanted to say that Reuven stole money or did whatever and owes X amount of money, and instead we find that there's Zimmerman and they don't end up depriving him of that money, and yet we make them pay. So therefore says Reb Nachman, that's a clear example of a knas. A knas is always when a person is paying a different amount than he caused the other person to pay. Here, the amount he caused the other person to pay is zero. So, and yet we're making them pay, so therefore it must be a knas. Which, by the way, it is true. Now, when we talked about yesterday, kasha zomam v'lo kasha osa, that doesn't necessarily apply to dinei mominus. That would apply if they cause the person gets misa or malchus or something, then we would say that once it's already done, then we don't do it to them, zeres hakosim. That wouldn't necessarily apply to momin, but nevertheless, though, the point is that obviously it still could happen that they haven't caused them to pay the momin yet, and they're having to pay, so therefore says Reb Nachman, so you can see. Actually, you know what? I skipped a line. I'm sorry. Omer Rabba Teda Sharela Osu Maisa V'Nerogin U'Mashalmin. We see says Rabba that they didn't do a Maisa. They only said some. They only said something over here. They only said Eidos. And as we talked about yesterday, saying Eidos is not necessarily a Maisa. V'Nerogin, and yet they can be executed or Mashalmin, or they can be paying. So the Nehrogim actually is in brackets over here, and not everybody is good at it. Maharsho actually adds it based on Rashi, and then the other way around, there are some Rishonim where the Girsa v'neharogim are not all Meshalmim, because you have later on in the Perek, when we talk about this matter of Kasha Zaman v'lo Kasha Osa in more detail, there's discussion over there. Would this din, this din that if they admit on their own, then we don't penalize them? Does that in fact apply across the board? Does it apply by Mammon and by Malkus and by Misa, or maybe actually it doesn't apply to Misa? So that's why you have the different view of stories over here. In any case, the point is, Rabbi is saying that you see, they didn't do a Maisa forget about the fact that their Adrus is not a Maisa. The fact is, no Maisa has been done yet. Basin has not yet given the person Misa or Malkus or what have you. And if at that point we find that their Adrus is a Minvinadrogim, then according to the opinions that they're executed at that point, then we execute them, and we're Shalmin, and we make them pay, as the case may be. So we see, therefore, that it must be a knas. And therefore, again, if they're moed of a knas, then they would be potter. Amar Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman says differently, teda, shani moment viad bailim, because the money is still in the hands of the owner, or meshalmim, and yet they still have to pay. So that's the Gemara is going to ask, what does Rav Nachman mean? It sounds like he's saying the same thing as Rabba. They're both saying nothing has happened yet, and nevertheless, we're still making them pay. But the point is, he's saying that it's considered that it's a matter of knas. The Ramban again discusses. So what if the guy did already pay? So now actually it turns out that there may be an issue. There may be an issue of dinner de garmi. They actually caused that he has to pay, and therefore for that reason alone they should be chayev. It may not be a knas. But in any case, before he paid, then obviously for sure, then it's a knas. So the Gemara asks, "My nihu delay also ma'isa." So what is Rav Nachman telling us? That means that they didn't yet do a ma'isa. Hainu de Rabba. Well, then he's saying exactly the same thing as Rabba. Why is he saying the same thing? So the Gemara says, "You're right. Ema v'cheinom Rav Nachman." You have to correct that and say, "So said Rav Nachman," meaning that Rav Nachman said exactly the same thing as Rabba. The Ritva points out that the fact is each of them is saying it individually. Each of them was speaking on Rabbi Akiva. It's not like Rabba had said something and then Rabbi Nachman agreed with it, which is why the Gemara presented it as Rabbi Nachman saying something separate. Okay. The Gemara continues, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rab, Eid Zomim Meshalim Lafi Chelkai, and Eid Zomim pays according to his portion. So the Gemara says, "My meshalim lufi chelkai." What exactly does that mean? Ilema dehay meshalim palga, vahay meshalim palga. Do we mean that there were two edim and they said, for example, that he has to pay $100? So now, when it turns out there are edim zemim, and then each one of them is paying $50, we don't need Rabbi Yehuda to be telling us that. Tanina, it says so in the Mishnah, in a Mishnah later in the Perek, meshalshin b'mamon, ve'in meshalshin b'malkus. We Meshalshin when it comes to money, but not when it comes to Malkus. Meshalshin Rashi gives two explanations. One is that it means, let's say there are three or four Edim, then it means Meshalshin would be Meloshin Sholish, that Beis Din becomes a third party between them. So Beis Din then will work out that they how to divide the payment according among them. So here there were four Edim, let's say, came, and we're going to talk about later on in the Perek under what circumstances are those four Edim considered one big group, and therefore we need to be mazim all of them together, for example, for it to be Azama, versus when do we consider them two separate groups. In any case, let's say that it's a case where all four of them are in fact considered one group. So Meshalshin, according to Rashi's first explanation, will mean that we want Beis Din to act as a Sholish, as a neutral third party that will decide, okay, listen, there were four of you, $100, therefore each of you pays $25. Rashi's second explanation is that Meshalshin would just be, it means in other words to divide up. If there were three of them, then it would be Meshalshin. If it's four, it would be called Merabin. We divide it up among them.
So the first one is adjudicated.
Yeah, so the first one would be that the Beis Din adjudicates. Yeah, I mean, a sholish is more like, for example, you have in halacha, sometimes you put money beyond sholish, which is like you put it in escrow. So basically, a shalish is a neutral third party who can make a compromise or whatever. In this case, not so much a compromise, but it means, in other words, that Beis Din is going to be the one to arbitrate and to decide how much each person is paying. So you do that by money, but not by malchus. Meaning, if they were saying, so here they said that he owes $100, then we tell each in aggregate we want all of you Adim to be paying $100. But if they say that he was going to be chayav malchus, we don't say, well, there are 39 malchus and there are three Adim, let's say, over here, so each one's going to get only 13. No, each one's getting the full 39. So the Gvura Sari, the Shagas Arya, asks on this, according to Rashi's first explanation, that it means a sholish. So actually Rashi goes further. The Gvura Sari understand that it actually means that there's going to be a case where the Edom are going to have to deposit the money with Beis Din, and Beis Din is then going to go deliver it to the person that's supposed to get it. And so the Gvura Sari says why. So one thing is, you know, like this, each one of them should say, each one of them might, let's say, for example, you have three Edim. Now, two Edim is obviously, you know, each one of them is going to pay, and they have no way around it. But if there's a third Ed, as we're going to discuss in a couple of days, there are cases where the third Ed is considered part of the Edus, and cases where he's not. So now, maybe the idea is then they have to deposit the money in Beis Din, because otherwise the third one is going to try to get out of it. Wait a minute, I wasn't really part of this Adris after all. Why are you putting me on the hook? So therefore, that would be why we have to say Mishalshin Davka, why we have to deposit it in Beis Din, and then Beis Din will make sure that each one is giving the amount that he's supposed to, and not trying to get out of it. So the Gvura Sari also adds, for example, you know, you might think, let's say, so again, now later on in the parak, when we talk about the concept of three Edim or four Edim, we're going to say the idea is that being a third Ed or a fourth one is a chumrah on the guy, in the sense, let's say now it turns out that they're Edim Zemmin, that third or fourth Ed is also going to be sharing in the punishment. He's also going to be getting Misa or Malchus or whatever, even though he could say, wait, the Edus would have been a perfectly good Edus without me. So now, therefore, so you might think in the case of Mammon, we're Mishalshin, where we're going to be dividing it up among them, so what does that mean? Because he's in the third aid, therefore that makes it easier on the other two. Now each of them is paying only 33 instead of they would have had to pay 50. And therefore the Mishnah has to tell us that even in the case of three Edim or four Edim, you still divide it evenly among them, even though, yes, it means each of them is paying less.
But at what point did you put the money in escrow?
So that's two different explanations. One is escrow, and one is that we just divide it among however many there are. So if we say that it's a matter of escrow, then the idea would be as soon as we convict them, we tell them, look, there are three of you, therefore each of you pay your share. We're going to put it in Beis Din until we have from all three of you, and then we're going to give it to the guy. And what happens if one of them runs away is another matter. But in any case, so that would be that. And then according to the other possibility, the point is the Mishnah wants us to know Mishalshin. The point is you would think if there were three of them, we should say, well, wait a minute. The fact is two of them alone would have been enough for the Edus. Why should we go easy on them and make each of them pay only 33 when there could have been only two of them and each of them would pay 50? And therefore the Mishnah has to tell us that it's not so. Okay, in any case, getting back to our Gemara. So again, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that each of them pays lefish chelkoi, but that's exactly what the Mishnah is saying later. So we're going to say we're talking about where only one of them was declared an aid zoymim. So other people came and said imanu ha-yisem about only one of them. The Meshalim Palgadi Day, and you're going to tell me Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that he has to pay the half that he would have paid had both of them been Muslim. The Gemara says, no, me Meshalim, since when would he have to pay? Well, Tanya, ein eid zoymim Meshalim mamon ad sheyuz mushneihem. We learn in a Braisa that an eid zoymim does not pay the money unless both of them are made to be eidim zoymim. The same way as Misa, the same way as Malchus, everything else that we're going to talk about later on Daf Hei. So here also, he wouldn't be paying at all. So the Gemara says, Omar Rava, ba'oim eidus sheker he'adi. So Rava says, no, what we mean is, we're talking about where he comes to another Beis Din, and he comes to another Beis Din. We're talking about still in the same Beis Din, that he says, in front of Beis Din, he says, I testified falsely. So the two of them have said that Ploini is high of Mammon, is high of $100, and then they did the Gemara Din. Now one of the Edom feels bad and starts saying that I said that I lied. So now I was an Eid Zoymim. So now we would have to. So now we would say that he has to pay half of what would have been paid, and therefore he should have to pay 50. So in other words, even though the Gemara is using the word, even though we use the word Eid Zoymim, the Gemara would understand at this point doesn't literally mean that he became an Eid Zoymim, because the fact is no other Eidim came and said that he was Immanuel Yisem, but rather he himself is voluntarily coming forth and saying that. So the Gemara says, Kol Kamine, how does he have the ability to do that? Kibin Shehigid, Shoveni Chozer, or Magid. The din is, once the Eidus said his Eidus in Beis Din, he can't say anything else that is going to contradict that Eidus. We even have the story in Sanhedrin with Shimon and Shotach's son, where Edom accused him falsely in Beis Din, and then afterwards, after he had been convicted and taken, was slated to be executed, the Edom said, before he was executed, he said that if I'm not guilty of this, then if I'm guilty of this Avera, then this Mister should be a kapara for me, and if not, then it should go on the heads of the Edom, and they got scared, and they admitted that they had said falsely, and nevertheless, the din was that they still had to execute him, because so what do we mean that because of that now we would say the person is in fact a false aid and we would have him pay that half? So it can't be that we're going to make him pay. And then going further on that point about Dina de Garmi that the Ramban mentioned before, it's true that he might have to pay because of Dina de Garmi, but that has nothing to do with Hazoma. The Eidus is still going to be an Eidus, but then we're going to say that he caused the person to pay out money, and therefore he's going to have to pay his portion of it. But that's a matter of Nezikin. That's a din in the halachas of Nezikin. That's not a din in the halachas of Hazoma, and therefore there'd be no reason for Rabbi Yehuda to say Eid Zoymim Mishalim. You would say age checker or something. So the Gemara says, Ella, no, we're talking about Ba'omer, where he comes to another Beis Din and says that Hey Abnu Behuzamnu the Beis Din Ploini, we gave Eidos and we were declared Eidim Zermin in such and such a Beis Din. So in other words, so they had come in front of Beis Din A and testified, and then other Eidim had come and said Imanu Yisim. Now the first Eidim come to another Beis Din, one Eid from the original pair comes to another Beis Din and informs them, he wants to be murdered, that we were in fact found guilty by Beis Din. So now at this point, it's not considered a knas anymore. Now it's mammon. Now it's actual mammon that Beis Din was mechayev them to pay. And therefore, so yeah, if they go in the same way as a person can go and admit in front of Edim that he owes Ploini money, the same way over here, he can go and admit in front of another Beis Din that he was an Eid Zoymim and that he owes his share of the money. So the Yehuda is telling us that in fact we would make him pay that money. Well, the Gemara says, "Kiman deloike Rabbi Akiva." Well, it seems that this statement of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rab is not like Rabbi Akiva. De'ik Rabbi Akiva. If it was like Rabbi Akiva, we just said Ha'omar afeinu mishalom apiyatsma. We said that Rabbi Akiva had said a person does not pay based on his own statement. And so, fine. Aloha may not be like Rabbi Akiva, but why isn't Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rab specifying that what he's saying is only according to the Chachamim? We can make Rav's statement work even according to Rav Akiva. Ba'omer, hey Adnu Huzamnu were based in Ploini, Vichu Yavnu Momen. He says, not only we became Edom Zomimin, which in the earlier case was, in other words, we said they became Edom Zomimin and then like they ran away before anything else could happen. Now he actually says that not only we became Edom Zomimin, but the other Beis Din actually required us to pay the money, and then at that point we didn't end up paying it yet. So therefore, so now even Rabbi Akiva is going to agree that already it's considered a matter of mamon. It's not a matter of knas anymore. Knas would be where based in and not yet said that they're chayev to pay money. So therefore, in other words, Rashi points out the whole point why we say murder b'knas potter is based on the idea asher yashiru nalekim. When does a person pay a knas? Only if Beistin finds him guilty. Here it's not Beistin. Here Beistin already found him guilty, the other Beistin, and made him pay. And it's just a matter of he hadn't paid yet. So therefore he does have to pay. Now, in that case, then what's the chiddush? Safadat chamina. You would think, given the chavre motzi mechayev, he can't be mechayev the other person, his fellow aide, money with this kind of haidah. If he comes to this other basin and says, we were convicted and we were told we have to pay money, but he wouldn't be neman on the other person. If he wanted to say the other person is chayev to pay money, you would need him and another aide to testify on it. So he's not. He's not believed. We can't accept his edus as far as the other person. Maybe he can't be chayev himself. Therefore, Rabbi Horda is telling us that it's not so. A point that somebody showing him bring up is you have a concept called edon amesim atzmei rosha. We know that a person can't say an edus that makes him a rosha. But over here, really, it's one of those things, a palgina dibura. Again, a person could be mechayev himself in money, no matter what. A person can voluntarily say to somebody else, I owe you money in the presence of Adim, and that works. So the same way over here, he's able to say that. The fact that it was because of Azama, we'll say we ignore that part because it ain't on a mesim atzmei rasha. So as far as various parts of this Gemara, Tosfos says that still the question is that he was going to cause the other person to lose money. So therefore, why is the Gemara even assuming that there shouldn't be a case where you have to pay no matter what? He was trying to make the other person lose money. So Tosfos has a whole different explanation of what was going on over here. Tosfos explains that he said, to begin with, the Gemara says, he says, Edus Sheker He'adti, I testified falsely, and then both of us became Edim Zomimin. So now, in other words, so you would think when he says Edus Sheker He'adti, then it means he's saying I'm no longer an Edim, he's no longer an aid. Maybe it's not possible to be Mazim them anymore. Maybe it's possible to be Mazim only the other one. But the Gemara says, wait a minute, how could he do that? He himself Kivin Shehigin Shulvanet Chozer Amagid. So we should ignore the fact that now, in other words, Tosfos is understanding the scenario. They came to Beis Din. They weren't yet Muslim. Then after they testified, he says, I was lying. I didn't actually see this happen or whatever. Then later on, other people come and say, you know what? It's true. He actually wasn't even there at the time. So now, the point is, at first the Gemara had thought that he could get himself out of the dinim of Hazama. But then we're saying that he can't. He actually can't get himself out of Hazama. The fact is, Kok Minei, how can we believe him? Kivin Shehigid, Shuvene Chozer Magid, once he said the Edus, we can't accept his Edus again, and that would mean, therefore, that we ignore the fact that he's saying, I lied, and if other people come and say, Imanu Hayisim, then in fact we are going to convict him as an Edus. All right. So the Mishnah goes on. Rabbi Akiva is saying that Edon Mashalom Apiatzmoy, but nevertheless, if he actually says in another Bastion that I was actually not only convicted but told I have to pay the money, then at that point, if even Rabbi Akiva would not consider it a knas, at that point it's considered mamon, and therefore he's going to have to pay his amount that he would owe.
That's the final explanation for Rav's statement.
So that's the final explanation of Rav's statement, is that we're talking about where he says that he comes to another Beis Din and admits that he was actually made to pay the money. Yeah. Mishnah says, here's more cases of Edom Zomimin. Me'idin onu asish ploini should girish asish, right? Two Edom come to Beis Din and say that we testify against ploini that he divorced his wife, v'lem nosan loksubasa, and that he didn't pay her huksuba. So now, meanwhile, the husband is saying, I never divorced my wife in the first place, and I don't owe her huksuba. So now it turns out there's Edom Zomimin. Now it turned out they're Adam Zimmerman. So what do we do as far as the penalty? So now we have to consider it's very possible that eventually he's going to have to pay that ksuba. Mela, in other words, for example, they come and say that he borrowed $100 and never paid it back or something. He may never have borrowed that money. It turns out they're Adam Zimmerman. He may never have borrowed that money, and therefore we can be mechayev them to pay him $100. But over here, it's a contingent thing. He might end up at some point dying or divorcing her, and then he is going to have to pay her huksuba. So then it would come out that they're not actually making him lose anything. So we have to figure out then, we have to figure out how much do they have to pay. We can't make them pay the full value of the huksuba. It must be something less. So what we do is like this. We evaluate kama adam wrote some litin miksubasa shozu. Now we know there is a concept where a woman can sell the future value of huksuba. It talks about it throughout Masechta Ksuvos, for example. So she can sell that future value with the buyer is taking himself a bit of a risk. If she dies first, then there's no ksuba. And if he dies first, or if he divorces her, there is a ksuba. So a person can be buying that future value, and now he'll be eating payrus instead. Like this, you have nichsim malug, of which you have karkam yuchad l'ksubasa. Rashi explains. You have land that the husband designated many years ago when they first got married. That's going to be the one that her ksuba is going to be paid out of. Usually she has the right to those payrus. Now the lekeach has the right to those payrus until the ksuba is paid, or until there's no ksuba because she dies first. So he's buying that future value. This matter about the payrus and all that is a little bit later. But in any case, the point is that we're saying that how much would a lekeach be willing to buy this ksuba for based on this suffix?
At least nowadays with life insurance.
Yeah, it's similar to life insurance in a way. Yeah. So kama adam roitz and litzed in the ksubasa shozu shem nis almano nis garsha, that if she was widowed or divorced, the ksuba would be paid. The mesi yurashena baila. But on the other hand, that if she dies first, then he's going to lose his investment. So there, and that amount would be what the edim pay. So the Gemara says, Ketzad Shomin. How do we evaluate this exactly? So Rashi explains as follows. There's two different ways you can look at it. It's the husband that's eating the payrus of the karka. You have like this karka that he set aside to begin with, where it's going to be huksuba is going to be paid out of it. But then just like nifsa malug, where the husband gets payrus of it, the same way over here, the husband keeps on having payrus from that karka as long as he's alive. And if she dies first, he has a better schus anyway. All this time he's been eating payrus, and he has more of a chazaka on it as well, because it's his property in the first place. It's only designated to pay her ksuba eventually. So now if we were to sell the potential future value of that property, then each one is a suffix whether what's going to happen with that property, but the possible future value of it in terms of him keeping it or in terms of her getting it for huksuba is going to be different amounts. Now the Mishnah says she in this armaloi in this garusha. The Mishnah is saying if she becomes an almona or a grusha, which sounds like we're talking about we follow the amount that would have been for her suffix. So we're saying, in other words, that so one way of understanding, so that's the Gemara's question. Ketzad Shomin, Rashi is explaining and said some length over here is that we're starting out with the question. Do we mean that we're asking how much would a potential buyer be willing to pay for this for for this for this karka, where he may get it or he may not. Right now, the husband has it, and right now, the husband is eating payrus. But if at some point he dies or divorces her, then all of a sudden she gets that karka, because now it gets paid for her ksuba. So are we saying then, But on the other hand, the fact is the Edom Zimmerman are not coming, they're not testifying against her, they're testifying against him, saying that he has to pay the ksuba now. So why should we go according to the suffix, why should we go according to the potential value of her potential ownership of this land? We should be going according to his. So that's part of the Gemara's question of Kate Sachumin. Then Rashi goes on to say that you could say like this, maybe instead what we figure out is instead of the actual value of the property, we just figure the tovas hana. We figure the potential future value. So we would subtract that, and they would have to pay the rest. Because either way, again, she would have the ability to sell this to sell her ksuba even now. So maybe we should subtract the amount that she could have sold her ksuba for now to a potential future buyer, where he might end up collecting that 200 zuz or not. And one way or the other, the husband would be willing to pay her that amount, that tovas hanah now. So we could have that, or maybe we'd have to say that we have to evaluate his suffix, the amount that he might potentially own it. So we have several different angles that we could say how we're going to evaluate this money that they're going to have to pay. So Rav Chista says we evaluate it according to the husband. So in other words, we say how much would a person be willing to pay for the potential future ownership of this karka, which right now the husband has set aside to pay the ksuba. And therefore that would be the amount that they have to pay, because we can't say we go according to the potential future value of her getting it, because they were made against him, not against her. So they're trying to deprive him of that value, says Rav Chista, then therefore we go according to that. Rav Nosson Ba'oshia says rather we go according to the woman. We say that we figure out it's a greater chumrah, Rashi explains, because she's going to be getting right now. Again, she doesn't have the chazaka and she's not getting payrus, so she's getting she would be getting right now a lot less. Right now, if she were to sell it, she'd be getting a lot less. Whereas in the future, she may get a lot more. So now the husband is going to have. So now the Edim Zimmerman are now going to have to pay the difference between the full value of the ksuba and that small amount that she might have gotten for selling it now. So that would be Be'isha that we're evaluating according to her. So of the two possibilities that Rashi mentioned before, Rav Chista and Rav Nosson Ba'oshia each saying we do one of them. Amar Papa Be'isha Uviksubasa. Rav Papa says you have to factor in not only the woman's side of things, like Rav Nosson, but also we need to consider also the ksuba, which means Rashi says we don't take into account the nichsim alug. Now you think of it, if he divorced her, he'd also lose his ability to eat payrus from her nichsim alug. But nevertheless, they can say, listen, we didn't know that there were nichsim alug involved, and therefore we can only put them on the hook for paying for huksuva. But then Rashi gives, so that's one explanation in Rashi. So in short, in other words, again, we're talking about that if he were to divorce her now, he would have to give her that karka, and he would stop eating payrus. But the fact is she's not muchzik in it, and until now she has no payrus, and therefore it has a much lesser value. If we go according to his side of things, then we would say that we figure out the value of how much the ksuba could be sold for now, minus her tovas hanah. So according to Rav Chia, we go according to that first one, and therefore they're paying less. According to Rav Nosson Ba'oshia, we go according to something with hers, and therefore we pay more, and therefore they're paying more. And Rav Papa is adding, we do pay the larger potential value of the ksuba, however, we don't take into account the nifsim alug. That was all Rashi's first explanation. Then Rashi says that, no, a different explanation, that we look at the Rav Chista had said Babal means we have to take into consideration what kind of nechosim does the husband have. Does he have idis or ziburis? Now, a potential lekeach is going to care about that. He has more of a reason. He has more of a reason to be interested in buying the ksuba if he may get idis property out of it than if he's going to get ziburis property out of it. The fact is, a ksubas isha is paid out of ziburis, but nevertheless, if the husband has only idis, or if his ziburis is better quality than most people's idis, then a potential buyer might be much more interested in it. So Rav Chisked said we go according to that, and Rav Nosson says that we go according to the wife. And then Rav Papa is saying, what do we mean by Isha? We mean the Ksubasa. We mean that if there's a particular piece of land that was set aside for the Ksuba, then we evaluate specifically using that one rather than across the husband's, all the husband's properties, because usually a husband and wife, all of his property is Meshubad to Ksuba. But in this case, it's not, because he designated one particular field for the purpose, so therefore we should go according to that. But Rashi doesn't really like that explanation, for he has a couple of questions on it. So that's all. So those are two explanations of Rashi's. Then Tosfos goes in and has a further discussion and a further explanation of what the Gemara means. Tosfos explains the question. Ketzed Shomin, do we say that again, Rashi had mentioned that there is a different future value of the ksuba for the man versus for the woman, because he's more muchzik in her. The question basically is, do we say that a person, how much would a person be willing to pay for the amount of her suffix, and then they should have to pay the rest? Or do we say that they would go according to him? I don't know. On the surface, at least, I'm not sure that Tosfos is explaining much different than Rashi. But there are Rishonim who ask on Rashi's question, what do you mean that we should, and why should they be potter from Nichsi Malug? They should also be potter from paying for Nichsi Tzoyin Barzel. And if we're saying the issue of Ksubasa, then Nichsi Tzoyin Barzel are written into the Ksuba as well. In any case, the Rif has a whole different explanation. The Rambam also follows this explanation that you have like this. When you look, what do you look at? The husband versus the wife, meaning not like Rashi is saying the potential future value of it in terms of the husband and the chosim, in terms of his chazaka, in terms of her lack of chazaka, etc. But rather, let's consider their ages and their health. The husband, let's say, for example, if the husband is old and if the husband is old or sick, he may not live very much longer. Or what if he has a lot of nechosim? The whole purpose of a ksuba is shall I take kalaba ain of loitzia? But if he's rich, then he has more of an ability to divorce her and to be able to pay the ksuba. For that matter, if they're not getting along. So therefore, the machlokas in the Gemara would be then, which one do we look at more? Do we look more at his circumstances or at hers? So the Gemara is saying, Rav Chista is saying that we look at his circumstances. Rav Nosson Bar Oshi is saying we look at hers. And Rav Papa is adding the issue of the ksubasa. We have to factor in the size of the ksuba as well. A larger ksuba is going to be more, person is going to be more likely to want to risk some money to be able to purchase a potential large future ksuba than a small one. You have the same way, for example, whenever the lottery gets big, you have more people buying it, because, you know, a person is going to say to themselves, well, if all I'm going to win is a few hundred dollars, then it's not worth even trying. But if I stand to win $1 million, you know, $10 million, or whatever, that's more worth playing. So therefore, you'd have to factor all of that in as well. But again, so you'd have the machlokas. So you look at the husband's age and health and whatnot and the state of their marriage, or do you look at hers? And then we're saying the issue of ksubasa, that you look, not you look at her status, but you also look at the actual size of the ksuba. That's the Rif's explanation. Okay. The Mishnah says, here's another case. Me'idin anu bish pleni shu chayv achavera elef zuz. They come and say edus that pleni is chayv to somebody else 1,000 zuz. And they also add in their testimony. Where they're saying that he's going to have to pay the loan within 30 days. Meanwhile, the lawyer says, I did borrow money from this other person, but it wasn't for only 30 days. Mikanvad Esa Shonim. It was actually for, it was actually for 10 years. Onion, we have to evaluate. So now, in other words, the point is, either way, he's paying 1,000 zuz, but there's a difference between paying it now versus paying it in 10 years from now. So Onion, we have to figure out Kama Adam Rotsa Litin, how much would a person be willing to pay the Yubiyada Elf Zuz, that he should have 1,000 zuz in his hand, Ben Nosin, the Kanvad Shloshim Yom, whether he has to pay them in 30 days, Ben Nosin, the Kanvad Esa Shonim, whether he has to pay them in 10 years from now. So in other words, how much would a person be willing to pay to get a loan of 10 years, minus 30 days, versus how much would a, so as for a broker's fee or whatever, and then that's the amount that the Adam paid, because that's what they were trying to deprive him of that. So the Gemara brings in this connection, now we're saying 10 years is more than a Shemitah. So let's talk about that din. We know that Shemitah comes and loans are canceled unless a prusbul is made. So let's talk about the dinim of that and then in the light of our Mishnah. If a person lends money to somebody else for 10 years, Shvius Mishamatoi, then Shvius still cancels the loan. He said it to begin with that it was 10 years, but nevertheless, it's still canceled. When the Pasuk mentions the concept of Shemitah, it says, Lo yigos Yisra'ehu v'esachav. He's not allowed to press the other person for payment. So now, in this case, during the 10 years, he can't press him for payment, because any time he comes and says, where's my money, the other person can say, time hasn't passed yet. You know, you have the story of Nachdimin Ben Gurion with the Goy in the Gemara, you know, it's not time yet for me to have to pay you the money or the rain. So the same way over here, during the 10 years, he could always say that I don't have to pay you yet. So the Afagav Dehashta, like Korin and Bola Yigos, it is true that right now that it's that Isser of not pressing him does not apply, because he anyway can't press him, because anyway the term of the loan hasn't come due yet. So if also the Bola Yigos, the fact is, in the end, it is going to come to that. And therefore, says Rav Yehuda, that the Shvius would still cancel the loan. So in other words, the Pasuk would be telling you, the Shvius cancels the loan, even though right now there's no Yigos, but eventually there's going to be, and therefore that's also canceled now. So the Gemara says, Mosti Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana says, in that case, I have a contradiction. Our Mishnah had mentioned a loan of 10 years, which is still valid. Omdim, we said we evaluate. Kamadam Rotsa Litin Viyu Elef Zuz Viyadoi. How much is the person willing to pay to be able to borrow a thousand Zuz? Ben Litin Vikanvad Lamad Yoim, or Ben Litin Vikanvad Esashanim, to have it for 30 days versus to have it for 10 years. So the Amit Shvius Meshamatoi, if you're going to tell me that Shvius cancels a 10-year loan, Kulanami Boru Shalomilei, then the Edom should have to pay the guy the entire money, because here they were saying he owes it within 30 days, which means it's not going to be canceled by Shmita, and here in reality it was 10 years, and therefore Shvius would have canceled it anyway. So now they were trying to deprive him of the entire amount of money that they're saying the loan is. So why shouldn't we make them pay 1,000 zuz? Amar Rava. So Rava says that's not a problem, because Hachab Maya Skinin, because our Mishnah could be talking about the Malvala Mashvin. We can be talking about where he's lending money based on giving a mashkin to the loiva over Moshe Shtoros of the Beistin, or where he's giving over his Shtoros to Beistin. Where in either of those cases, as we learn in a Mishnah in Shvi, it's a malvala mashkin. If a person lends money on a mashkin, va moser shtoros of the beistin, or if he gives over his shtoros to beistin, ein mashamtin, ein mashmitin, then shmita does not cancel it. So our Mishnah would be talking about a case of a loan like that. And therefore, Shmita is not a factor. But if there was no Mashkin and no most of Shredos of the Basin, then yes, Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that the loan would be canceled anyway. And if in fact, if we could establish that the loan that they're claiming was in fact like that, then yeah, then we might make them pay the whole 1,000 zuz, because then they're trying to deprive them of something that would have been canceled by Shmita. Then again, maybe not, because the Malva would always have the option of going to Basin ahead of time and giving them over his Shredos.
So this incident happens 1 year before Shmita, then it has very little value that
it doesn't matter how many years, even if it's 6 years before Shmita, the fact is 10 years from now, right, it's still going to be after Shmita regardless. Now, Rashi explains that Moisir Shtoros of the Beis Din is the same as Prusbul. On the other hand, Tosfos says that the Mishnah mentions those in Shviyas as two separate things. So no, Moisir Shtoros of the Beis Din would work even on a Daraisa level. What Hillel said is, even though you're not actually giving over your shtaris to Beis Din, you only say, when you're saying, Hareni Moisil Lachem Kol Choyv, I'm giving over to you all my debts, Sheikh Benu calls Man Sha'erikse, you're not actually physically giving them the shtaris. Nevertheless, Hillel's takana of Prusbul is that that works. So we have actually cases where it works. By the way, the Gemara elsewhere mentions, like this in Bava Metzia, the Gemara explains there based on Psukim, in Mishpatim, and in Kiseitze, that if you take a mashkin from a poor person, you have to return it to him every night or every day, as the case may be. If it's a pillow every night, and if it's something that he needs, or it's a tool that he needs to work during the day, then you have to return it to him every day. So the question is, then in that case, what good does it do taking the mashkin anyhow? The whole point is that he can't use it, and that'll motivate him to pay.
One point is,
it is a pain in the neck to come get it back every time, but the Gemara there points out another thing based on what we're saying over here, that Shavius won't cancel the loan. Because otherwise, without the Mashkin, it would be canceled. So like this, the Mashkin prevents that. Also, the Gemara points out there's something else as well, that if the Loiva dies with the Mashkin in his possession, so let's say it was a pillow, and then he died in his sleep. So now in the morning, the pillow is now the Malva can take it away, and he doesn't have to return it anymore. The fact is, it was a Mashkin. He had to return it every night for the guy to be able to sleep with, but now, yeah.
The question is, not even go into his property. That's the separate
thing. No, he can't go into his property. That's true. No. The children have to bring it to him, but yeah. Okay. Fine. Ikadamri, the Gemara says, here's another version of this discussion. Amr of Yehuda Mashmol, the other way around. Hamav es chavela es hashanim ein shvius mishamatei. That if he lends him for 10 years, shvius does not cancel it. But afagav de osi lo lidei lo yigos, even though eventually it's going to come to being collected, to being demanded, hashta mia le korin bela yigos. But right now he can't demand it from him. So therefore, so the other way around. First, we understood that it meant the Torah is saying any loan which eventually is going to be demanded, you can't collect after Shemitah. Now we're saying no, only if before Shemitah you were able to demand it. Omer Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana says, according to that, in that case, then our Mishnah proves that. Afanan nami tanena. Well, that fits very well with what we say in our Mishnah. Oimnin kama odem ritzalitin viyu elef zuz biyadu, that a person, we figure out how much a person would be willing to pay to have 1,000 zuz in his possession now. Ben litin mikanvad laman yom, ben litin mikanvad esashonim, whether he's going to hold on to it for only 30 days or for 10 years. Viyama shviyas mishamata, if you're going to tell me that shviyas cancels any loan, even if it was a 10-year loan, kulunami bo shalomi. Then they would have to pay him the entire amount because they were trying to cause him to lose the entire amount. But Rava says that's not a proof. Omer Rava, Hochmaskin Rimalval Mashkin. Because no, our Mishnah could be talking about where he lent with a Mashkin over Moshe Shtoros of the Beis Din, or where he gave over his Shtoros of the Beis Din, Shuditznan, as we learn in that Mishnah in Shvias, Malval Mashkin, Val Moshe Shtoros of the Beis Din, Ein Mashmitin. So therefore, so no proof from our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Amarav's Din may well be valid, but we can't prove it from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is not addressing those cases our Mishnah may be talking about those cases where there was a Mashkin, or where he gave his Shtoros to Beis Din before the end of Shemitah. So we have two lashonis that are exactly the opposite. Tosfos mentions that the halacha is like the second one, because in the first one we had our Mishnah was a question on it. Granted, we answered it, but still, the second one where we're using our Mishnah as a proof for it is stronger. Tosfos points out an interesting thing. In some kahilas, they have a minig on Shavuos, they say poems in Chazaros Hashatz or whatever called Azhorois, which lists the 613 mitzvahs. Reb Sadia Goin wrote one, Reb Shlomo Ibn Gvirol wrote one. There's different Azhorois that were made by different Rishonim among Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. Where Adayim Azed, there are some kahilas that say them.
You know what Shavuos said?
What?
Last Shabbos, I was somewhere with this. They said,
that's something else, right? You have places where they have minig to say piyutim, like on the Dalad Parashias and other such thing. Oh, so you're in such a place, interesting. Okay. So now in one of these Azhoris, then Tosfos points out the original girsa was that if there's a 10-year loan, then Shavias does cancel it. But based on our Gemara, based on the second lashon of our Gemara, Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, changed the girsa and said that no, it's not Mishamet. because based on the second lashon in our Gemara that in fact it's not meshamet if it's a 10-year loan. That is the accepted halacha. So therefore, 10-year loan or loan for any amount past shmita or whatever is not canceled by shmita, even if there's no prusval.
Because it's set,
and he can't dun him for it. He can't demand the payment any time before that 10 years or whatever it is up. And therefore, when Shmita comes, then you can't say lo yigos. Don't demand the payment from him. Because anyway, you can't demand the payment from him.
Comes out in the middle.
Shmita is mishamet only b'soifer. The loans get canceled only at the end of Shmita. However, the Alter Rebbe does point out there are Rishonim who learn that from the beginning of Shmita you're not allowed to demand the loan. It's not canceled yet per se, but you still can't demand from it even at the beginning of Shmita, which is why our minhag is we say the prusbul nusach on Erev Rosh Hashanah both before and after Shmita. That way we cover our bases.
Before and after?
So what we do is, for example, for the last Shmita year, for example, was Tavshin Pei Beis. So Erev Rosh Hashanah at the end of Tavshin Pei Aleph, as well as Erev Rosh Hashanah at the end of Tavshin Pei Beis, at the end of Hataras Nedarim, we said the Prusbul loan. So that way, we did it at the end of Pei Aleph. So that, in case the halacha is like the opinion that from the beginning of Tavshin Pei Beis you can't demand the loan already, then we covered that. And if it's on the other hand that it's only meshamet at the end, which is the actual halacha, then that way you're covered for that as well.
So every year we take a do one year together, like the year before and after, two and after another. Okay, now I understand. Okay.
The Gemara continues. Speaking of this matter of Shemitah, let's talk about another din related to that. The Omer of Yehuda Mishmol, Ha'omer l'chaveira, if a person says to somebody else, I'm lending you money, on condition that Shvius shouldn't cancel the loan. So the din would be Shvius Mishametis, Shemitah still cancels the loan. Well, why is that? Lema Kosava Shmuel, does that mean that Shmuel holds Masna Masha Kosava Torah, that it's considered making a T'nai against something that it says in the Torah, for call a masna masha kosav Torah t'nai bottle, and such a t'nai is ineffective. The question is, why is France? That may well be the din, but Shmuel already told us that someplace else. V'ha itmar, we have another place where Shmuel says the same din, and there's no reason for Shmuel to repeat himself. Now, let's say, for example, I mean, if we found these two dinim in two places in Shulchan Aruch, we have no reason to ask for it. That's meant to be a practical guide for halacha, for the average person, and therefore there's no problem repeating a din in different places where it's relevant. But the Gemara regularly assumes that an Amora is not going to say a statement where we can easily deduce it from another statement of his. So we have a discussion. Suppose a person is selling something else to somebody else, and he says, "I'm selling it to you on condition that you have no claim of oino against me. That even if it turns out that it's over, that I'm overcharging you, then you're not going, then I'm not going to be chayev to refund your money or whatever." Rav Omer Yeshle Olav Oino. Rav says that there is Oino, so he could still take him to Beis Din afterwards. Or Shmuel Omer Einle Olav Oino. So it's not that Shmuel is repeating himself. Rather, it's that Shmuel is contradicting himself, because there Shmuel says Shmuel Omer Einle Olav Oino. Shmuel says there's no claim of Oino in that case. Actually, in Bav Metzia, the Gemara actually mentions over there that you have Machlokas Tanoim on that question of Masna al Masha Kosav HaTorah, and the Gemara tries to say that maybe the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel is identical with that Machlokas, but then the Gemara says that no, not necessarily. Rav, who holds Ein Lo Olav Oino, would be saying that, fine, B'davar Shem Mamad Tanoi Kayim, but it's not effective over here because the Lekeach is going to think, okay, he's saying that Ein Lo Olav Oino, but he doesn't realize that there's actually Oino over here. So therefore, he hasn't really fully waived his rights. And the same thing, Shmuel saying, Ein Lo Olav Oino could hold that even that all t'nai against what the Torah says is bottle, but over here it would work because the fact is we don't know for sure if there's going to be Oino. So that's the Gemara talks about that in Bava Metzia. The point being, in other words, that Shmuel is saying, Ein Lo Olav Oino. And one way of understanding Shmuel, at least, is because it means that a person could make a t'nai against what it says in the Torah, and it will be valid. So how is he saying over here that if a person is making a t'nai, a gal mash nakas v'atoda ain't t'noi bottle, ain't t'noi kayim? So now, Shmuel point now. Now Tosfos points out that the Gemara could, that on the face of it, the Gemara could answer that who said there's a difference over there? The fact is, you don't, as the Gemara, exactly that, as that Gemara points out in Rav Matzia, he says Al Menashe in Lachol Olayna, but there isn't necessarily Olayna. He's leaving himself an opening that he could charge more, but he's not necessarily going to. So therefore, Shmuel can say that therefore such a Tanai could maybe work. But over here, he's definitely being oiker. He's definitely saying, I want that Shmita should not cancel the loan. So in that case, then, so how is the Gemara comparing them? Tosfos says, the fact is, he could pay him back before Shmita, and then it's also a suffix whether it's at, whether the Tanai is going to be needed or not. So therefore, it is the same way over there, as he, there's a question, is he going to end up doing or not, the same way, is he actually going to be, end up collecting after Shmita? Anyway, so, so Shmuel is contradicting himself. The answer is Ha'itman Allah, because you know it was said about that in that Gemara in Rav Matzia. Amar Rav Anan, Ledidim Yifar Shalem Yineid Shmuel. Shmuel personally explained to me that there's a difference what Loshin he used. Amanas She'en L'cha Olay Ayna. If he says that I'm selling you on condition that you have no claim of Ayna, so Ein Loyal of Ayna, then in fact he has no Ayna, because then, you can make a Tanai, Al Masha Kosta Batura, at least in Dvarim Shiva Mammon. But Amanas She'en Boy Ayna, but if you say on condition that there is no Aina in it, then that doesn't work. Yes, Hare Yeshba Aina. The fact is, it turns out there is Aina. It turns out he was overcharged, and therefore, so therefore that wouldn't be valid. So therefore, the same thing over here. As far as Shmita, you have the same distinction. Hachinami, Amanas Shoyt, Shamcheni Vashviyas. If he says on condition that you won't void the loan after Shmita and Shvius Meshamakta, then fine, Shvius doesn't cancel it because he took on himself a Tanai that he's willing to pay after Shmita. And it's a Dovash Amaman and Tanoi Kayim. Amanas Shaloit Shamteni Shvius. But if he's saying on condition that Shvius shouldn't cancel me, what do you mean? You don't have the ability to override Shmita. In that case, Shvius Meshamakta. In that case, Shvius does cancel him. He doesn't have the ability to override Shvius. So Tosfos brings over here, as far as the matter of Ayna, what we mean is, in other words, again, Rashi is saying, Amanas She'en L'cha Olay Ayna, means that, so the first case would be that you're willing to waive your rights to Ayna. Fine, he has the ability to waive his rights, whereas the second one would be a statement, there is no Ayna, and the fact is, it turns out there is Ayna. Tosfos actually brings a different explanation from the Rashbam, that Amanas She'en Bo Ayna would imply that the lav of Ayna should not apply to it. The fact is, you don't have the ability to prevent the lav from coming on it. On the other hand, Amanas She'en L'cha Olay Ayna again means that, yeah, you're going to waive your rights. You're going to be mochel to me, so fine, Tanoi Kayim. The same way over here, if he's saying Amanas She'en L'cha Olay Ayna, that the issue of Shvius shouldn't be chal, you don't have the ability to prevent the Isser of Shvius from being Chal. But if you're saying that, but if you're saying Amanas Shaloit Shamteni, that you won't consider it voided, that you will come after Shmita and pay me, fine. Shvius ain't Shvius Meshamatzai, because it's a Dover Shem Mammon, and Tanoi Kayim. Because the truth is actually that the Mishnah actually mentions in Shvius that even though the loan is canceled by Shvius, nevertheless a person should go a machzir choy b'Shvius. When a person does go and return the loan, ruach chachamim noyfehemenu, then the chachamim are pleased with it. What you would have to do is, you can't say you're returning it as a loan. You would have to say, I'm returning it to you as a gift or something like that. And the Mishnah actually mentions over there that When the person comes to give back the loan, you tell him Shvius already canceled it. And if he says Afal Pikein, if he says nevertheless, I still want to give it to you, then you take it from him. It's Machlokas Rishonim, whether you actually have to tell him to tell that he can't tell it to you, that you're returning it to him as a loan, or whether you could even at that point, once you already told him that not. Because Vizeh Dvar HaShmita, the Mishnah mentions over there. In any case, the point is, so yeah, he has the ability to pay afterwards. So here, basically he's saying that this is on condition that you're going to do that. So fine, that's valid. But to say that Shvius shouldn't apply, that you can't do, because how do you have the ability to say that Shvius shouldn't apply? Okay. The Gemara continues, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Hamalves Chaveda Stam, here's another din regarding loans. If a person lends money to somebody else without specifying the amount of time, then he's not allowed to dun him for it within less than 30 days. Stam halva is for 30 days. So, the Gemara says, Sovar Rav Babachana Kamedi Rav Lamemer. When Rav Babachana was a Talmud in front of Rav, he thought to say, Hani Mili, the Milv of a Shtar. That would only apply where the loan was with a Shtar, where then you can say, Sam Havar Shloshim Yom, because the Lord Ovidinish to Tarach the cost of Shtar, Batsim Mitzlos and Yom. And nobody's going to bother writing a Shtar for less than 30 days. Within 30 days, people will remember it well enough. Avam Milval Pe, Loi, but if it was a verbal loan, then no, then maybe we wouldn't say it's 30 days. Amalei Rav, but Rav tells him no. Hochi Amal Chavivi, this is what my uncle said. Chavivi literally means my beloved one. Rashi, the same, it's the translation of the word doidi, and the same way as in Lashon Kodesh, doid has a double meaning. It means uncle, and it means beloved one. I guess because uncles and nephews often get along a lot better than parents and children. So in the same way in Aramaic, Chavivi means both my beloved and my uncle. So this is what my uncle said. Echad amilva b'shtar. Echad. This is Rav Chiya. Is Rav's uncle. He was actually a double uncle of Rav. The Gemara mentions elsewhere. He was a half brother of Rav's father and a half sister of Rav. He was a half brother of Rav's father and a half brother of Rav's mother. The two of them was a blended family where the two of them weren't related at all. They had different parents, but their parents had married and had Rav Chiya. So he's a half brother to each of them. So now Rav Chiya is a double uncle to Rav. So Rav said, this is what my uncle Rav Chiya said, Echad amal v'b'shtar, Echad amal v'alpeh, whether it was a loan, b'shtar or v'alpeh, either way, 30 days. And the Gemara says, Tani nami hochi. In fact, we learn like that in a brisa. Amal v'es chaveres sam, en rasher the tovah, pochus m'shloshim yom. He's not allowed to demand the loan in less than 30 days. Echad amal v'b'shtar, Echad amal v'alpeh. Well, where do we get that number of 30 days from? So the Gemara says, Omale Shmuel Rav Masna. So Shmuel said to Rav Masna, Loi Tesev Akarach, don't sit on your feet. Meaning, don't sit down, but stand up on your feet and tell me the following din. Adam Afarshus, Lola Hoshmaita, until you explain this halacha. We find in the Gemara elsewhere, it says that up until the time of Rav Gamliel, it says that people would mostly learn Torah standing. After that, people got weaker, and we usually learn Torah sitting, as we're doing now. Nevertheless, the Gemara also mentions over there that one point is, I think Ben Yehoyada says this point, I don't remember, that when an Amora says to another one, don't sit down, stand up and tell me this, he's saying, I want us to learn this halacha together. I want you to tell me the explanation of this halacha, like in the old way, the way that people used to be learning standing up. So, Adam Afarshus, La Lahal Shmaita, until you explain this statement. Menoha Milsa de Omer Abonan Hamalvas Chaveri Stam, Enu Asher Latovi Pachs Mishloshim Yom, Echad Amalva Mishtav, Echad Amalva Alpeh. This din that we just quoted, that you can't dun him for it within less than 30 days. Where tacta do we get 30 days? And by the way, the Orochoner points out, since Rav Babachana had that question of whether it applies to a Milva Mishtav or a Milva Alpeh, therefore, when they formulated the Braisa for it, they put in explicitly echad mil v'shtar echad mil v'alpeh, so that nobody should have that question anymore. So where do we get that from? Why dafka 30 days? Amalei said, Amasna answers, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Korva shnasa shreva shnasa shmita. A person is going to think to himself, shmita is almost coming, I don't want to lend this person money. Now, we mashma shenema, korva shnasa shreva, any idea, she shnas shmita. The seventh view is shmita. Why does the Pasuk have to repeat, shnasa shreva shnasa shmita? Ella matamud lo so Ella matamud l'mishnasa shmita loy malach. It tells you like this. Yes, shmita acheres shehi kazu. There is another kind of shmita. There's another kind of release of a loan which is like this, where you can't dun another person for the money within a certain amount of time. The ezuzu. What is that? So there's another year which is like that. Korva shnasa sheva. The seventh year has come. Shnasa shmita. Where there's also a year which is not the seventh year, but which is nevertheless a year of shmita, where you can't demand the loan. The ezuzu. What would be that case? Amal ves chaver stam. Where he lends him stam. She'en rasher the tovet. Pepachos m'shloshim yom. That he can't demand it within 30 days. We just said a year. Da'amama shloshim yom mashana choshev shana. We find in various other contexts in halacha that 30 days is already considered an entire year. It comes up in the halachas of planting trees as far as Orla and Netzer Avai and all that, for example. So therefore, once the pasuk is implying that there's a year in which you can't demand a loan, then it means the year really means 30 days, which is enough to be considered a year. The Ritzvah points out, now you have an opinion in the Gemara elsewhere that says Yom Echad Bashana Chashav Shana, that one day in a year is already enough to be considered a whole year.
Yeah, when he went to lead back to Avram, Eliezer, right, he says expression.
No, you have Yomim also, you're thinking of, that's something else, no. That's that, your word Yomim means a year, but no, there are places where we say Yom Echad Bashana Chashav Shana. We have it, for example, so again, in those halachas of planting trees, you have different opinions how long before Rosh Hashanah. Do you have to have planted the tree for it to be considered the first year of the tree? It comes up here and there in other areas of halacha as well. Anyway, the point is that Ritual says, obviously, nobody's lending money to somebody for one day, so therefore we have to assume that means 30 days. So that's where we get the 30 days from, is based on that concept. Having mentioned dinim that Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the name of Rav and that Rav Kahana asked on, as we had earlier on the Amud, so we'll continue and we're going to talk about some other dinim that Rabbi Yehuda is going to say in the name of Rav, which Rav Kahana is going to ask on. There are dinim involving Hilchos Shabbos and dinim involving mikveh, and we'll deal with those tomorrow, Rav Hashem.
Correct.
Thank you.